kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. And if you read Ezekiel 40 through 47, Zechariah chapter 6, you will see that when the Messiah returns, he will build the temple. Amen. Incidentally, he's building the temple right now.
Amen.
The temple of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
In every one of us. We are that temple, but he's also going to build a physical one, not in Tulsa, but in Mount Zion.
Amen.
All right? Oh, I've had them tell me that. I've had people come down, tell me that Tulsa was Zion in the Bible. Literally. I didn't get anywhere with them when I tried to convince them either. But it says this. Everybody in Tulsa doesn't believe that. I hope you all know that. It says, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Uh-oh. Can we read? I will be his father. Now David's going to have a singular son, a singular seed, whose kingdom will endure forever. Got that? And when this happens, it says, I will be his father, not I am his father. Right. Can anyone read besides me? Do you see what he's saying? In the future, God is going to have a son. That's what he's saying. I will be his father. In the future, he shall be my son. No, it does not teach Jesus was eternally a son. When the Bible refers to him as a son, it's speaking of him the 33 and a half years he walked the planet and after that. You know, he's still keeping his glorified body. All right? Jeremiah 23:5. Again, behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. See, when we went through that verse before, David wasn't so important to us. But now David becomes important. And a king shall reign and prosper. He shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel dwells saved. This is his name. Now here comes the great question. From what we've been reading, do you think for the one moment he was talking about Solomon reigning forever? You know, do you see what I'm saying? See, believe me, Cal, I talk to people and they say, that was talking about Solomon. But see, it really isn't. Those things don't fit Solomon. Would we ever think Solomon would be called the Lord, our righteousness? I trow not. I don't think so. I trow not. Okay, look. So, we see then that this son of David that's coming, that will be the king, that's going to save Judah and Israel, is the Lord, our righteousness. And have you figured it out yet? The word Lord there in the Old Testament is Jehovah. Yes. Jeremiah 33:15, in those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of right. Have you noticed how many times it calls him the branch? That same word. How many of you are familiar with the word? There's an old word, stone, meaning the sun. S-C-I-O-N. I think, is that? Scion, Scion, excuse me, Scion. Did I spell it right? S-C-I-O-N. Yeah. That word would also equally translate here for branch. But also, the many times in Scripture, Jesus referred to as wood, like a piece of wood, is referring to his humanity. And that's why the tabernacle was made out of wood overlaid with gold. In the Scriptures, the gold is that metal speaking of deity. So it was teaching us that he would be both human. Even the pictures in the Old Testament taught that he would be both deity and human. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. It said, the Lord, Psalm 130:11, the Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set up thy throne. Of the fruit of thy body. Now let's think about it. Did Joseph have one jolly thing to do with the birth of Jesus at all? His conception? Not at all. So do you all see from that verse alone, there's many more I could show you. Mary. Mary absolutely has to be of David's lineage. Right? Or the Bible has a mistake in it. Right? So that's a very important basic verse, right, of the fruit of your body, of David's body. And notice, God swore that in truth to David, and he will not turn from it. You got it? All right. See, these are the basics. Sure enough, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. All right? Even though it's 14 generations. Notice this. It didn't say a son of David. Don't you love that?
Amen.
The son of David. You know how God can really select the right words, can't he? Again, Revelation 5:5. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome, prevailed, to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Hallelujah. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the Root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How can he be the Root of David? See, to be the Root of David and the offspring. See, the offspring of David means first there's David and then his offspring. But to be the Root of David, see, the root is there before the branch comes up, the tree comes up. He says, hey, I was before David and I'm after David. Do you remember that? Is that good? Did you see it? Now, let's take a look at that for our closing deal in the Scriptures. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. I've taught you from Matthew 22 so many times because I just can't resist it. This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. You'll recall in the first part of the chapter what's really happened succinctly. On the 10th of Nisan, what you call today Palm Sunday. It really was on a Sunday. It really was the 10th of Nisan. You go back to Exodus 12. It was the exact day that they were told to select the Passover lamb, the 10th of Nisan. And then they would examine the lamb to the 14th to make sure he was without spot and blemish. This chapter is that chapter where Jesus, the Passover lamb, is tested to see for sure, Dale, if he is without spot and blemish. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, all questioning, trying to find fault with him, asking him all manner of questions that for them are great, difficult questions. Is the Lamb worthy? When they got through, and may I add, Jesus is going to bring it to the climax, at verse 41. Now this is after he's already sent them all packing and running by answering their questions with questions that revealed their wickedness. It's really bad when a bumpkin carpenter from Nazareth can defeat with such simple questions the learned intelligentsia of the day. Verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, licking their wounds, that's the Floyd Jones insertion. Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Watch it. They say unto him, the son of David. Now, we've been reading the Scriptures. We've read a bunch of them. Is that accurate? Well, it's true. It's true truth, but it's incomplete truth. You see, if he's only the son of David, if that's all we've learned tonight, that he's only the son of David, then we go back to our first position, he's only human. Now watch Jesus nail them. Now remember, these guys have memorized the Pharisees. To be a Pharisee, what have I taught you before? You had to have the first five books, the law, completely memorized. Like at fraternities and sororities, we had what we call tap day. You know, you would be tapped maybe into an honorary fraternity or an honorary society or something. Well, being selected to be a Pharisee was much like that. You went in by being tapped. You went in by invitation. There weren't that many of them. There weren't even thousands of them. It was a very elite, snobbish clique. Most of them had the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah memorized, and they had to have all the book of Psalms memorized. Now, none of us qualify, but we know the answer that they didn't know. They said the son of David. Did you see? After tonight's lesson, none of you would say that. You would say, well, he's the son of David, he's the son of Jacob, he's the son of Abraham, he's the seed of the woman. You know, I mean, you're just going on and on and on. Right? Right. Now we know who he is. We're getting it straight at last. You know, if you're going to worship someone, you ought to really have it straight who he is. Hallelujah. If you're going to receive him as Savior, believing he's Lord, God of the universe, the Creator has come in the flesh to take the place of his creatures. To take in himself the righteous judgment he meted out. He said unto them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Oh, did you see what he said? In other words, hey, I have in my Bible written right out to the side of that. Look. The word correction. See, they said the Son of David. Correction with an exclamation point. Right. And he says, well, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? See, if he's, what he's saying is, if he's only human, only the Son of David, why did David call him Lord? How many of you know that it's rather unusual that a daddy calls his boy Lord? To say the least. Saying, and he now he quotes from Psalm 110 verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer a word, but not in this room. Do you know the joy? Let me tell you. Do you hear what I'm saying? How much of the Bible you can have memorized and still go to hell? How much of the Bible you can have memorized and still be no more than a Pharisee? And you come to a little rinky-dink two-bit Bible study in central Houston, and no more than those men knew, and not one of us could hold their shoelaces in Greek or Hebrew. You hear what I'm saying? And so, yes, lights one more time. Yes. Absolutely. I am the root and the offspring of David. See, David, Jesus is saying the same thing here. He said to the Pharisees there in Matthew 22. Before David was, I am. He said that those words really about Abraham, but you see that the same thing means. And so, beloved, I close tonight with this. These limitations that we've already put on any Messiah are further narrowed by other prophecies. For example, to eliminate all the cities of the world save one to be that of his birth, as we've already read, Bethlehem. See, that's going to cut out a lot of people. Okay? So, see, can there be any honest doubt that in all history, only one man has ever been able to present all these credentials as to his true identity, that he is the promised Messiah, God the Creator come in the flesh, does not the babe of Bethlehem, the carpenter of Nazareth, whose life is recorded in the four Gospels contained within the Holy Writ, fulfill in every detail all of these requirements? Would you stand?
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Listen to me. One last thing to say to you. You saw torturously tonight me carry you through a lineage and natures of the Messiah to an ultimate purpose. And it'd be real easy for you to say, well, that's just because he was special. And he was, and he is. But the real issue now, that is established. In other words, that is established. Al, we did it. But the real issue after, Tom, Randy, after this, will you believe, will you trust, that even though you're not the only begotten of the Father, that God has a lineage and a credentials and a plan and a purpose for you just as surely. Just as surely. And it may not be as glorious. We only need one Messiah. You hear what I'm saying to you? But listen, but to God, your lives are that precious. That precious. Not that important. But that precious. Because you have a lineage. Through the new birth, you have quite a lineage. And it's the most important lineage. Now you rest in that and be encouraged by it. God bless you guys.
Amen.